Welcome to the Cake and Jason podcast, a once a week update on all things food, family, community, gardening, whatever. We call it Sidecar. If it has to do with the rituals around food and holidays, making food or taking it places, or remembering what we were eating during important times in our lives, we'll talk about it here. I am your host and bestie, Jen Coleslaw, coming to you from the soulless suburbs of Northern Virginia. Hello, my long-neglected friends. I am so sorry for such a long silence, but it has been a month. And I'm not going to spend my 22 minutes telling you my sub-story about why I've been so quiet, but suffice it to say, I am fighting my way back to you all, and I do have a lot to say. I'm not going to say it all today, though. First, let's start with letting you know the most important things. I have put up the Halloween inflatables, and just to ensure the most frivolity, I included the Thanksgiving and harvest inflatables of the drugged-out turkey and the goofy cornucopia of the tomato and the pumpkin that looks so much like me and Jen Goldbeck. So, the total roundup of inflatable includes a Day of the Dead cat, two dinosaurs, one wearing a pumpkin as a tunic that says trick-or-treat upside down for some reason, and the other dinosaur is chasing a really angry candy corn that has legs. We also have a skeleton wiener dog carrying a pumpkin trick-or-treat bucket that is also a dog's face with ears, and that is probably the most awesome thing about it. And a very weary ghost pushing a wheelbarrow full of candy corn who have various goofy facial expressions. And I'm pretty sure that one of the candy corn is actually flipping the bird. So on the chance that you'd like to run your own inflatable yard party, I'll give you a few pro tips. First is definitely get your inflatables at Amazon from the Goosh, G-O-O-S-H, company, because they make the craziest ones. Second, get one of those stakes that you put in the yard that is also an extension cord. Each inflatable plugs into this electrical stake. It's an indoor-outdoor electrical extension cord thing. The electrical stake also has a timer on it that is solar-powered. And so the inflatables inflate at dark, and then they stay inflated for up to 8 hours. Our yard has a very slight slope, so the inflatable army looks out over the street, which is quite cool. And sometimes if I'm having a rough day, or if the world is having a rough day, I will blow up the whole gang in the morning and keep them up for a few days. After Halloween, I'll leave up the weirdo turkey that ate all the mushrooms and acid, and the agenda cornucopia, and then put up the Christmas and holiday inflatables, which includes the insane Christmas snail and the baby reindeer that is having a super bad trip and the candle with holly berries that look like testicles. So that is absolutely something to look forward to. Okay, so that's the news from the front yard. The news from the backyard is that the tree that fell on the house is finally off the house, and the work has been completed by the awesome contractors. So, all good news there. In other news, do you remember when I said that if I got enough new Patreon followers that I would get myself that fancy hand mixer? Well, I didn't quite meet my goal, but you know what? I got the mixer anyway. But because I have a scarcity mindset sometimes, I refused to actually use it until this past week. And oh my goodness, it is just the best hand mixer I have ever used. It may seem kind of stupid to have a little headlight on it, but I made a batch of chocolate chip cookies this week with it after it sat in a box on my stairs for well over 3 months because I didn't think I deserved to have it. And it made a huge difference. My kitchen has terrible lighting, and so the fact that this hand mixer has this little headlamp on it made a big difference in what I was able to see in this giant stainless steel bowl. And it has a little digital timer on it so that if the recipe says beat on medium speed for 2 minutes, boom, you can see 2 minutes right there. It has a surprising amount of power as well. I thought that I would be hard-pressed to recommend a hand mixer that cost $150, but honestly, I think it was a great purchase. I was able to mix up a double batch of chocolate chip cookies, so that was 2 cups of butter and almost 5 cups of flour, plus 2 bags of chocolate chips and an entire bag of walnuts, and it took about 3 minutes for it to be fully mixed, mixed up. I was so excited. And let me just actually go back a minute. The reason why that is so good that it only took 3 minutes for it to be totally mixed up, because once you add the eggs and you continue to mix, your dough gets really tough. And that's what makes for tough, hard cookies. And so if you can mix up everything and then add your eggs real quick and then have everything be mixed up without overmixing, that's your goal. You really don't want to overmix once you add the eggs. And this mixer made it happen for me. Anyway, I made a little video and I will put it up on the Patreon page with a link to the mixer should you feel like you absolutely deserve to have the very best hand mixer in the history of hand mixers. And I think you do deserve it. And you know what? I do not get any kind of referral code or anything. I just want you to have the best hand mixer ever. In other news, the world is burning, and as someone who has spent the last several years bearing witness to the various atrocities and just absolute bullshit, I am ashamed to say that I can't right now. I mean, I have been, and I have a lot of thoughts. But the days of working all day while MSNBC is on in the background and refreshing Twitter and the New York Times and the Washington Post every 2 minutes, those days are over for now, because I cannot keep watching the talking heads ignore the innocent victims of Palestine while they are spending 20 hours a day talking about the innocent victims of Israel, while Republican members of the United States House of Representatives snipe amongst themselves, unable to elect a new false idol who doesn't even respect the office, while our legislators talk about supporting and funding what looks like a long and deadly and bitter war that we are absolutely on the wrong side of. I can't do it. And so for the first time in years, I'm avoiding the news. And I've been rewatching Grey's Anatomy from the first season instead. And while I'm thoroughly enjoying it, I won't lie, I am also kind of taken aback at how easy it is just to avoid the bad news. The bad news of Congress not having a leader now into our third week, and we're sneaking up on another government shutdown. The bad news of the Israeli government and Hamas and Hezbollah, and the sad news of all the victims under all the rubble of all the buildings and hospitals and burned out cars, and the news of murders of a 6-year-old here in the United States, just a child killed by his landlord, and the murder of the director of a synagogue in Detroit. No one knows why, but you know what? We know why. I see why people turn off the news, why they look away and say, well, both sides are bad, or there's no good outcome, or it's complicated. My friends, it's not complicated. There is never a time to look away when innocent lives are in the line of fire between two warring factions of governments that are so high above the innocents that they might as well be in another universe. So while I am spending a moment between news reports and sound bites and reports of my mother's rage about having her driver's license suspended with the guilty pleasure of Grey's Anatomy, please know I will never abandon my post of bearing witness. Because I remember this quote, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." We all need to remember this. Okay, friends, moving on. Why don't we talk a little bit about food holidays? And I'm going to go all the way to the end of the month, because I have an ask that I want to ask of you, and that is, I want to start collecting recipes. I have an idea that was pitched to me by our friend Jen as a way to help build my podcast and my Patreon and maybe some YouTube videos. But I need your help, and that is, I need some recipes. So I'm going to ask you to send me your favorite baking recipe, cookie recipe. Let's start with cookie recipes, and you can send them to me at twochocolatecakes@gmail.com, or you can ping me on any of the social media platforms. I think most of you know how to get a hold of me by now. I would love to try to bake your recipe. It can be a complicated recipe that I'll try, or it can be a really simple one. It can have some family history attached to it. I'd love to know about it. You know, I love recipes with family history attached to it. So anyway, send me your recipes. Okay. Today, Sunday, October 22nd, 2023 is National Nut Day. And I like all nuts except for one. I do not love hazelnuts, also known as filberts. My top three nuts are in order: macadamia nuts, walnuts, almonds. I like macadamia nuts for snacking. And I'm going to apologize right now because everyone is making noise outside my house today. And we're just going to have to deal with the fact that someone is driving a motorcycle up and down the street. I like macadamia nuts for snacking, same with walnuts, but I do not think there is a recipe for cookies or brownies or muffins or breads or cakes or whatever that is not made better with walnuts. They are just so versatile. And you don't even have to toast them first. Like, I think you really need to toast pecans. You need to toast almonds before you use them. But you don't need to do that with walnuts. Okay, today is also Smartest Cool Day, and I am 100% behind that because some of my favorite people are super smart, and they are super cool too, and you know who you are. I know that some people like being the smartest in the room, but that's not me. I like being the person who is in the room full of people smarter than me so that I can be learning all the goddamn time. Monday the 23rd is Slap Your Annoying... No, Monday the 23rd. Monday the 24th is Slap Your Annoying Coworker Day, and I honestly do not recommend this. As both a boss and a coworker, it will really reflect poorly on you, and you could totally get fired. And trust me when I tell you that there are far better ways to get back at annoying coworkers that do not involve smacking them. And if you subscribe to the Patreon, I will probably tell you several of those tricks. It is also Boston Cream Pie Day, which you know is really a cake, but happens to be made in pie plates because there was really no such thing as cake baking pans back then. For more information about Boston Cream Pie, you can check out the Agenda podcast where we talked about Boston Cream Pies. And I promise that we will get that podcast going again. But Jen G is super busy between work and her awesome new book coming out called The Purest Bond. I hope that you have all pre-ordered at least 25 copies of it. Monday is also National Canning Day, and now that it's cooler outside, it's time to start pulling all the peaches, black raspberries, and strawberries and cherries out of the freezer to make jams and sauces to give for holiday gifts. Plus, I have a 30-pound box of apples and pears to make into apples and pear sauce. Finally, it is National iPod Day, and I still have an iPod, and I love it. I mean, yes, it is less necessary now that I can stream music from my phone, but I love that it has an aux jack for real wired headphones so that I don't always have to worry about charging a pair of Bluetooth headphones, and it has super long battery life. It's perfect for flights and trips and anything, really. Anyway, I love my little red iPod, and they don't make them anymore, and so I will give it a smooch and take very good care of it. Tuesday's a big day, for me anyway. It's National Bologna Day, and you might be surprised to find that I am a big fan. Big fan! I love bologna sandwiches. I love bologna and cream cheese all rolled up as a snack. I love Oscar Mayer bologna. I love Wegmans German bologna too. I feel like the best bread for a bologna sandwich is a nice soft white bread, maybe potato bread or oatmeal. Bologna on toast though, not a thing. I don't like fried bologna. I don't like a bologna sandwich that's warm. I like cold cut bologna. It is also Good and Plenty Day, which you may know is a candy, pink and white licorice. And black licorice is absolutely an acquired taste. Not everybody likes it. Not everyone likes black licorice or black jelly beans, and you either love them or hate them, and I am in the love them category. I especially love those licorice pastilles, which are like Good and Plenty's, but they come in lots of different colors, and they are much smaller and thinner. The candy coating on the outside is also much crunchier, and the licorice is far less gummy than a Good and Plenty, but it's still super, super licorice-y. Wednesday is Greasy Foods Day, which is fine, whatever. That's like most of the things I like, although I'm going to guess that, like most people, as I get older, I find I have a little heartburn with too much greasy food, and so I don't eat that much of it. Thursday is Pumpkin Day, and honestly, all of October is Pumpkin Day, isn't it? But here's the thing. I am not a fan of pumpkin-flavored things. But I like pumpkin-colored things, like cats and those mallow cream pumpkins and inflatable pumpkins for my lawn and actual pumpkins. I really love actual pumpkins. They're so perfect and round, and they bring me joy. And after Halloween, the squirrels eat the pumpkins on my stairs, and I love that too. Although, you know what? I'm going to backtrack for a second here, and I'm going to say that there's actually one thing that I do love, and that is pumpkin pie. I love pumpkin pie, especially with a ton of real whipped cream on it. Thursday is also pretzel day, and one of the things I love about pretzels in October is that Utz makes these little bags of pretzels for giving out to trick-or-treaters. I love that, except that I usually eat all the little bags of pretzels before Halloween comes. It's also mincemeat pie day, and I don't love that. I really do not love mincemeat pie at all. I think it's yucky. That's totally not my thing. Now look, we need to talk about Friday because it's a very big day. Friday the 27th. Because it is potato day. Mashed, smashed, smushed, gratin, fries, frites, rice, roasted, home fries, hash browns, crisps, chips, you name it, I will eat it. I love potatoes. Potatoes should be honored all day, every day. And just as an aside, I love sweet potatoes too. Potatoes! Yay! Saturday, National Chocolate Day, which, as you know, is, in fact, every day. I'm not sure why no one has come up with chocolate-covered potatoes yet, although I know that somebody has made chocolate-covered potato chips, and they're fine, but you know, they don't stay, the chip part doesn't stay crispy, and so then it's just sort of gummy, and then it's just kind of gross. I don't love it. It's also Wild Foods Day, and I'm not exactly sure what that means, but there's this great mushroom forager at the farmer's market this year, and every week they have some really great mushrooms, and they have a Facebook page, and they say what they've gotten, you know, out in the woods, I hope that they have done very well at the farmer's market and we'll see them again next year. I don't see Northern Virginia as a real like hotbed of mushroom foraging. But, you know, I could totally be wrong and people could really respond to it. It is a shame that Ben doesn't like mushrooms because I think we'd probably eat more mushrooms if he liked them. But he doesn't. And so I don't really buy them very often because we're not making two meals for people. And by we, I mean Ben, because he does most of the dinner making. Okay, Sunday the 29th is National Oatmeal Day, and I love me some oatmeal raisin cookies with walnuts. I also love oatmeal as a hot breakfast with raisins and blueberries and walnuts again, and maple syrup. Oatmeal as a breakfast is really one of the best breakfasts around. Okay, we're in the home stretch now, people. On Monday, October 30th, it is National Candy Corn Day. And you know what? All you candy corn haters can go to hell, because I love candy corn and my dad loved candy corn. And you know who hates candy corn? My mother. And it is Buy a Donut Day, and I love donuts, and people can buy donuts for me anytime. It used to be at my office that Fridays were donut day, but now I believe that Fridays are a work day only if necessary. So now donuts are for any and every day. And my top three donuts: glazed, chocolate frosted, and lemon filled. And I like the filled donuts that are not powdered sugar covered, but are granulated sugar covered. There's probably a word for that. I don't know what it is. But powdered sugar is fine, but I kind of like the grainy sugar on the filled donuts a little bit better than the powdered sugar. Not sure why. Maybe it's a little less messy. Okay, so now, Tuesday the 31st is Halloween, and honestly, I'm going to just preface this by saying I don't agree with these two food holidays, which are National Candy Apple Day, because there's no way any parent is letting a kid accept and eat a candied apple that they picked out when they were out trick-or-treating, because candy apples are usually homemade. But when I was a kid and we trick-or-treated on our little country lane, there was a woman who made the most delicious cookies and candy apples and popcorn balls. Her name was Mrs. Tooker, and she had two daughters who were older than me. But you know what? We knew her our entire lives, so it was okay to get food from her. But those days are over, and parents are not letting kids eat unwrapped candy from people that they haven't known their entire lives. And it's also trick-or-treat for UNICEF. And do kids even do that anymore? Because I've been giving out candy for 15 years here in Northern Virginia, and no kid has ever had one of those little orange cardboard UNICEF bank boxes that collects dime. And they have never said, trick-or-treat for UNICEF! So let's give today, Halloween, a few new holidays, shall we? Here are a couple that I came up with. The first one is Meet Your Neighborhood Kids and Parents Day. Now, I live in a community with a ton of kids, but I don't really know any of them because I don't have kids. And so I really love Halloween because they all come to my door with their parents and they tell me what they're dressed as, and they almost always ask about the cats that they see in the windows when they walk by, and their parents wave from the sidewalk, and it is one of the only times of the year when I feel so happy to be here in this neighborhood. I mean, I'm always happy to be here in this neighborhood, but on Halloween, I really love being in this neighborhood. I put together the most perfect little bags of candy, like I curate my Halloween candy with chocolate, sour candies, little boxes of raisins, because of course you have to, the little bags of pretzels if there's any left over because I haven't eaten them all, and even lots of non-candies. Like this year I ordered little tubs of Play-Doh, and then I always have lots and lots of stickers. Or Halloween could be Hoard Your Favorite Candies Day, because that is something that I do. I buy 20-pound bags of assorted treats, but then I pull out all the ones I like and put them in a special bowl. And if I run out of candy, then I pull from that bowl for any kids that come by. But if kids stop coming by and I haven't had to pull from that bowl, then everything in that bowl is for me. And top five treats are Baby Ruth's, gummy bears, candy corn, Heath bars, and Almond Joys. Runner-up, Blow Pops, watermelon flavor. Love those. Yeah, I don't even chew gum anymore, but still love them. Halloween should always be Hug Your Small People Day, regardless of whether they're dressed up as Spider-Man or Princess Elsa or a bumblebee. Regardless of whether they're your small kids or not, whether they're in your country or not. We need to take care of all our kids, our friends' kids, our neighbors' kids. And if that means calling your elected official to tell them to call a ceasefire to save kids, then do it. As my man Nelson Mandela said, safety and security don't just happen. They are a result of a collective consensus and public investment. We owe our children, the most vulnerable citizens of our society, a life free of violence and fear. Okay, friends, thanks for listening, and I sure appreciate it when you rate and recommend the podcast. If you like the content and want more, you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/twochocolatecakes. I promise I am still working on the new episodes of Two Chocolate Cakes, but I'll be honest with you, with the stuff going on with my mom, it has been a hard row to hoe, all these memories. I think that the reason you haven't heard from me in almost 4 weeks is because I've been overwhelmed, not just by the things going on in the world, but the things going on in my world. But I'm dragging myself back. So I'll see you next week to remind you that November 1st is coming and you need to do your rabbits. But until then, remember, don't cross any picket lines that you don't have to. And guess what? You don't have to. And I'll keep saying this until everyone hears it. Record profits are unpaid wages. See you next week.